I love you. I respect you. I will take care of you. You are enough. Those are pretty powerful words. So let's say them one more time. I love you. I respect you. I will take care of you. You are enough. Wow, what an accomplishment. 80 pounds lost. It initially started coming off from a cancer diagnosis. Loving what I was seeing, I worked hard to lose the rest of my weight. Healthier food, a strict low-calorie diet, a meticulous food diary, and punishing exercise all enabled me to lose the remainder of my weight. I was so obsessed with the process that it almost ruled my entire life. In about 9 months, I became very fit and slim. I loved the way I felt, at least on the outside. I kept the weight off for about 8 years. Then I started gaining it back. Desperate to lose it, I tried starving myself. It didn't work. So I tried other ways. For example, a juice fast helped, but it didn't work in the long run, as it didn't teach me how to eat properly after the fast. Weight Watchers worked for a while. However, counting points for the rest of my life didn't make sense to me. It didn't seem natural. I even considered trying a program that claimed if I ate 3 pounds of vegetables every day, I would lose the weight and keep it off. In my mind, I imagined force-feeding my body 3 pounds of vegetables every day, or a plate filled high with a plethora of vegetables every day. I cringed at the thought of it. Each time I tried different diets and harsh exercise programs, I felt my body reject them. My hands literally tensed up, refusing to look up and record the caloric value of foods. My mind and body went numb as I tried yet another time to enter the gym for another brutal exercise session. My mind, my body, the essence of who I am, didn't want the obsession, the deprivation, the pressure, and the war against it anymore. What it wanted was respect, peace, and love. Yet, I didn't listen to it. Dieting was all I knew. Besides that, these diets were supposed to work. So I thought, it must be me. There must be something wrong with me. In my mind, my inner wisdom felt there must be a better way, a healthier, more natural way to lose the weight and keep it off for good. Surely it would take work, but how? How would I break free? It's really not about the weight at all, nor illness, nor any circumstance in our lives. It's about breaking free from the negative messages we've internalized, to know and understand ourselves better, to reconnect with who we are, so we can love and accept ourselves unconditionally for exactly who we are. It was scary, really scary, that huge, dark, gloomy castle up on the hill. Its tall, pointed towers cut high into the sky. Lightning strikes lit up the stormy gray clouds above it. The storms never seemed to stop, as did the screams coming from inside it. People were being hurt in there. They were being hurt a lot. I knew that's where the monster lived, because I lived with him since birth. As a young girl, I visualized him as this Dracula-like character, hovering over me with his dark hair and black cape, seemingly bigger than life. A monster who preyed upon people, sucking the life out of them. He was king of his castle, and always highly critical of his subjects. Rarely happy, he demanded exact perfection in carrying out his orders, values, and rules. If not, bad things would happen. But they always happened. This is because his subjects couldn't do anything right. As such, they were never worthy of his love or acceptance. Molly. Molly Mormon, that was me. Molly is a term referred to Mormon females who follow their religion to perfection. Obedient to the male heads of the home, their male-only priesthood leaders, they follow the teachings of the church without question, strive to be perfect homemakers, wives, and mothers, and, in my generation, were expected to sacrifice themselves and their needs to glorify the kingdom of God in the perfecting of the saints. If you weren't Molly, you were looked down on, judged, and sometimes shunned. You weren't good enough. To the monster, my dad, the strong patriarchy and sexism in the Mormon church served to reinforce his view that females were inferior to males. This meant that the little girl was expected to take care of him and clean up his mess after he would beat up his wife or abuse members of his family. As I grew, other family members expected me to fulfill that role too. Yet, from a young age, I knew instinctively that the patriarchy, sexism, and double standard between men and women were wrong. Even if I did, I would have been quickly put in my place. This is because it was all kept strictly controlled and private. So we appeared to be that perfect Mormon family we were expected to be. The abuse happened a long time ago, as did my association with the church. Even with the sexism and other problems, I loved being Mormon. It still holds a very special place in my heart. Not only did it give me support and stability during a difficult upbringing, but helped develop a deep spirituality that I may not have gotten otherwise. Years of professional help, attaining degrees in psychology and social work, healed the wounds of my past, or so I thought. Instinctively, I knew there was work left to be done, but I'd had enough of the hard work. Thus, I stuffed it away somewhere deep inside me and moved on with life. Maya Angelou said, "When we know better, we do better." That means we did the best we could. So we need to forgive ourselves for not knowing what we didn't know before we learned it. Roth said it's not about the weight. It's about the lack of self-love and acceptance. It's about trusting one's own inner wisdom as to what your body needs, not someone else's. It's about eating to stuff down stress and other emotions. It's about staying away from processed foods and junk food, as they contain addictive substances that make it very hard to stop eating them. It's about eating only when you're hungry. Homewood Health has similar views. It added that we are all born perfect eaters, that we know from birth when we're hungry, when we're full, and when to stop. It states that weight issues are often about unmet needs, about not letting go of the past, about unsatisfactory parts of one's life, that overeating is abusing one's body and why diets don't work. It writes about the importance of loving one's body exactly as it is right now. Not to judge it, because it has valid reasons for being the way it is. Trusting your body, your own inner wisdom, being perfect eaters, eating only when you're hungry, not loving oneself. Wow, all these things made sense to me. I was ecstatic that I finally found my answers. However, there was more. When I originally lost the weight, it was an external solution. I didn't feel completely whole inside. I worked at it from the outside in. That's one reason why I couldn't keep it off. Intuitively, I knew this, but why? Why was I not getting it? What I discovered is that I was still internalizing some negative messages from my past. Dick John Kelly et al. State, internalized depression occurs when individuals internalize positive messages about a dominant group and negative messages about themselves and or their group. Dominant groups can include church, state, businesses like the weight loss industry, and others. Furthermore, Jones adds, these messages may include feelings of inferiority, shame, guilt, self-hate, self-blame, low self-esteem, self-censorship, and depression. These can underlie the development of patterns of self-destructive behavior. Repression or disownment of one's own values, beliefs, race, religion, sexual orientation or culture to avoid punishment, social rejection, or other unjust repercussions may also result. These effects are often so pervasive and invisible because they are seen as a natural and normal part of a group or society. And for those who experience them, it can take months, years, or even a lifetime to overcome. From this, I realized I was still internalizing a lot of the church's sexism, patriarchal values, perfectionism, and deep-seated parts of my Mormon identity I still felt a strong loyalty to, but were no longer part of who I am. I was struggling with an internal tug of war. I should, but I shouldn't question or constructively critique the church like I do. I should give way to male authority, but I don't. I should be sacrificing myself, but I'm not anymore. As a result, I still felt guilty and blamed myself for not measuring up to their beliefs. In doing so, I felt that I was betraying my faith, even though it really wasn't my faith anymore. Or was it? I also discovered I was still internalizing a lot of debts, criticisms from my past. In turn, this has led to unmet needs, to a lack of self-love, trusting the wisdom of others, to a disconnect with parts of who I am, to lost hopes and dreams, and to trusting the wisdom of others. Thus, like child abuse or sexism, my excess weight isn't my fault. Homewood Health was right. My body has good reasons for being overweight. It was a coping mechanism used to stuff down all these feelings. Julie Parker states, learning to love ourselves through our stories of pain and suffering is the most powerful step we can take towards healing and becoming whole. From this process, not only do I feel freer and happier, but I'm able to love and accept others a lot more completely. because I feel that way about myself. Now it is time to learn to retrust my own inner wisdom, to connect with who I am, to take better care of myself, and to love myself more completely for the person I have become. I started the first part of this process, breaking free from these issues, just under a year ago. I'm getting close to the end now. It's involved a lot of time, hard work, patience, and ups and downs. Once I identified, understood, and started working through them, the real tough part was grieving, forgiving myself, and letting them go. This is because they were so deeply entrenched in my identity. Homewood Health states, some people hold on to the past like a security blanket. Letting go of past issues or times in our lives that no longer serve us is an important part of the process of moving forward. It is about loving, caring, and paying one's respect to what was, like grieving someone who has died. Flossom. F-L-A-W-S-O-M-E. You got that? It's an individual who embraces their flaws and still feels awesome. Flossom. Don't forget it. F-L-A-W-S-O-M-E. Who are you? You're our Flossom. The second part of my journey has just begun, working on breaking free from that mind, that dieting mindset I have internalized as the right approach to weight loss. It's really tough because it's so ingrained, not just in me, but so many other people. I am now replacing the pitfalls of dieting with getting back to a natural, more normal way of eating. I listen and follow the food cues and feelings that my body is telling me. It's my inner wisdom. I eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full. When I get cravings or my body is restless, like a parent who lovingly guides their child, I listen and try to find out why. Then I act. I found that it's either about some emotional need, my body telling me that there's a nutrient that I'm lacking, or that there's something in my life that I need to change. Nourishing my mind and body with nutrient-dense food through a vegetarian or vegan lifestyle has also really helped. As a result, I've not only found that I feel fully satisfied with what I'm eating, but my body rarely ever leads me to eating junk food. I feel free. And I feel much better. I no longer count calories, keep a food journal, obsess over food. I don't feel deprived. And I don't punish my body anymore with exercise. I follow my body's lead. This is what my body wanted all along. It wanted respect, peace, and love. It's really not about the weight at all, nor illness, nor any circumstance in our lives. It isn't. It's about breaking free from the negative messages we've internalized, to know and understand ourselves better, to reconnect with who we are, so we can love and accept ourselves unconditionally for exactly who we are. In closing, I'd like to share with you one final story from my childhood. I was around 9 years old, hiding in the dark basement, alone, scared, shaking, and crying. This was after a particularly nasty bout of verbal abuse from my dad. I knelt down in prayer and poured my heart out to God. I told him how badly I was feeling inside, about the things that were happening with my family, that I just wanted it to stop. And I just wanted us to love each other and be a good family. I must have been praying for about 10 minutes or so when this bright, gentle, white light engulfed me. My eyes were still closed. The light was coming from somewhere above. It's similar to when a section of dark clouds in the sky open up and a huge beam of light comes down and touches part of the earth. It was all-consuming, unconditional love. As it embraced me, I felt better. It was exactly what I needed at the time. It lasted maybe 30 seconds or so, but felt much longer. I basked in it. It felt wonderful. It felt like an eternity. Then, suddenly, it withdrew and stopped. Devastated, I begged and begged for it to come back, but it didn't. Back then, I believed it was God's love. Today, I'm not so sure. What I do know is it was beautiful, unconditional love. It was also the exact same love I felt coming in through me through the airplane window from the large, white, fluffy clouds in the sunshine high above the earth. It was late July 2012. I was on my way home from my dad's country of birth, Denmark, a few days after he died here at home in Surrey. I believe it was him. I believe it was Dad. He was expressing his love that he couldn't while he was alive. The essence of who we are is love. You are love. May we better trust and follow our own inner wisdom. Let go of that which does not serve to nourish and enhance our being, and love and accept ourselves unconditionally for exactly who we are, no matter what our circumstances in life may be. I love you. I respect you. I will take care of you all the days of my life. Indeed, you are enough. Thank you.